It's News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay in the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I've been up here several times in Pensacola area with the governor, and we've talked about the border operations, the southwest border, that was open and porous for several years now. This product has come in and infested our state, and it is killing people left and right in our state. We have got to have people more out here in the community to stand up against this atrocious chemical. It is a weapons of mass destruction. The amount of people that it can kill is unreal.
This is Mark Glass, the FDLE commissioner, talking yesterday during that press conference that FDLE did that you heard David talking about at the top of the hour news about the 14 pounds of fentanyl and many, many, many other drugs and guns and things that they seized.
And these people that you're seeing here on this chart, they are pushing this in your community. These are the ones that will allow fentanyl-laced product to go out in your community. There is not one person here that is not affected by fentanyl. I don't care who you are. You have family. You have loved ones. Fentanyl is atrocious. It has no care who it kills, nor do these folks. They don't care. Understand that. They do not care who they kill in your community. This state has been attacked by fentanyl drug dealers, but there is hope.
The hope is, of course, that operations like this will help cut down on supply, getting people to cut down on demand. You have various programs like the CORE program that Escambia County has been running to, you know, when people are willing, that's sometimes the challenge, but when they're willing, they get called, you know, they call EMS for an overdose, and EMS is like, hey, would you maybe like to never have to do this again? And they get in the program. It's very, very effective. Several hundred people have already been gotten off of opioids because of it. Chris Williams, a special agent in charge for FDLE, heading the investigation yesterday.
As a result of last week's efforts, we seized over 14 pounds of fentanyl, 4 pounds of xylazine, 58 pounds of methamphetamine, 35 pounds of marijuana, 2 pounds of cocaine, 30 firearms, 4 of which were stolen, over $60,000 in 5 vehicles.
So many different things involved in this.
Fentanyl is poison, and now 14 pounds of it are off the street. And let this be a message to those who are out there wanting to bring poison into our community, or any community in Florida. Both you and your poison are not welcome here in the state.
There is a part of me that every time they do one of these press conferences, it makes me feel kind of good that they mention a drug that I've never even heard of. Like, I'm so separated from this whole culture. Xylazine. PJ, have you ever heard of xylazine before?
In the news.
In the news only. Okay. All right. So not at your parties. You guys are more like meth and fentanyl parties. Is that?
No.
Stolen drugs, or stolen cars, and stolen guns. Just kidding. Mark is back. PJ is back in for a day with us. I was looking at the name of the next speaker, Mark Glass. But Sheriff Simmons, of course, involved in this. Bob Johnson, Gulf Breeze, PPD. Everybody was involved in this some way or another.
Fentanyl will kill an individual. I've been in law enforcement for 41 years, and fentanyl is the most dangerous drug I've ever encountered. More dangerous, more deadly than heroin, methamphetamines, crack cocaine in the 80s, is the most deadly. So it's high on our priority list.
Yeah, and we talk about this all the time with Chip when he's here with us on Tuesdays, and we will today, of course, with this particular, you know, and Chip's got the receipts. Like, he was on SWAT, he was on, you know, narcotics. He did this all back when he was a door knocker, a patrol officer, long time ago. I mean, not that long, but, you know, he worked cases in the 80s. You know, he knows crack and powder cocaine and all that stuff. Mark Glass again, the FDLE chair or FDLE commissioner.
Just to give you an idea, in the 80s, the total overdose death in the United States was a little over 9,000 people. That was in the 80s, late 80s. A little over 9,000 people. We have more than, I think it was 172,000 overdose deaths in 2022. So if you look at that, and you look at the spike when fentanyl came in, it's there.
Now, I think his numbers are wrong based on my research, because I thought that especially that 170 was high. It's about 110, but still enormous. The number was enormous in 2022, and it was not 9, it was 5,000. It was even fewer in 1989. But, you know, he might be looking at some different data set that includes something that is not the same one that I'm looking at. But in any case, yes, it has spiked tremendously in the last half a decade, really.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is a war. We heard that back in the 80s, a war on drugs. It's here. This war is here. You don't have to go to Ukraine. You don't have to go to all these different places. It's in your backyard. And I'm calling on every person in the community to watch, pay attention, let your local law enforcement and the sheriff know, even FDLE or your prosecutors, let them know where this stuff is at so we can eradicate it.
Now, one of the things, I mean, it's hard to say it's good news, but the good news is that, you know, we are making a difference. The numbers do seem to be declining a little bit. But, you know, when I say a little bit, like it's down from 100 to 80, you know, like it's, you know, if you had something that was killing 80,000 people a year in the United States, it's that's 1.5 Vietnam wars a year. Right? I mean, that's an incredible number of people that are dying because of drugs in the United States. Chris Williams, again, the special agent in charge, was asked about whether there's more arrests coming. There were 15 people arrested in this case, 14 guys and, you know, one woman, and, you know, varying charges for all of them. The most charges for the ringleader, but, you know, which it was one guy that they identified as the ringleader.
Is it possible we can see more arrests or charges because of all of this?
True. Yes, absolutely. We have 7 individuals that we're still seeking, and I expect probably there'll be more charges even beyond that as the investigation progresses.
So as many as 7 more, I mean, possibly more past that, who knows. But yeah, I mean, good for them. Terrible that they have to be doing this, but good Lord. Operation Nottingham was what they had assigned as the code name for this particular operation. $60,000 in cash, 35 pounds of marijuana, 23 pounds of MDMA, 2.5 pounds of cocaine, 30 firearms, 4 of which you heard were stolen, 58 pounds of meth and 14 pounds of fentanyl. That's the really big one because it is so deadly, you know, and can, I mean, it can kill people, right? It kills people all the time. 517 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable, mild. I mean, not nothing storms that we're expecting later today, but we're also not in the hot zone for this thing. So, you know, just kind of a, hey, look, storms in Pensacola. This is what we do. Also, we did get numbers in from Phil the Mayflower on Friday from Mana. 50,000 meals provided by your generosity and all the different people and entities that gave Mana's food pantry and 18 food security programs in our two county area. Dee Flounlacker said in a press release, Phil the Mayflower 2025 raised the food and funds we need to feed the hungry in the coming months when we expect requests for food assistance to increase. So good for you. Thank you so much for participating. And, of course, we always appreciate, you know, our Cat Country News Radio, WEAR for all participating, and the Mayflower folks. Just fantastic. All kinds of organizations that give to and support that annual food raiser. 518 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hey, can you blow up some balloons for Jack's party?
I can't. I'm so congested.
You need Sinex Severe from Vicks.
Sinex Severe nasal spray?
Yeah, just Sinex. Breathe.
Sinex Severe instantly relieves nasal congestion and works 6 times faster than nasal decongestant tablets. The 12 hours of relief allow you to get back to the moments that matter without congestion.
Daddy, we need more balloons.
On it.
Try Sinex Severe from Vicks. Just Sinex. Breathe. Use as directed.
Are you tired of old arguments that go nowhere? Are you looking to transform your relationship? Local to the Gulf Coast and nationally recognized relationship coach Julie Nice has helped over 8,000 people turn conflict into clarity. Julie brings empathy, practicality, and proven strategies that create lasting change. From rebuilding trust after betrayal to leading through listening, Julie's programs reset the way you connect. Visit outcomesonly.com today because better communication means better relationships.
As a mom, comforting my family is what I do best. Vicks VapoStick provides soothing, non-medicated Vicks Vapors in an easy-to-apply stick, and it dries fast, so there's no mess. I use it to comfort myself and my family.
Thanks, Mom.
Vicks VapoStick. Soothing comfort for the whole family. And try Vicks VapoShower Max for steamy Vicks Vapors when you need more comfort for yourself. Use as directed.
All of your local news and talk from dependable host Andrew McKay on your morning drive with Pensacola Morning News 5 to 9 on News Radio 92.3.
If you vote for me, all of your wildest dreams will come true.
Hey, mama said the way you move gonna make you sweat, gonna make you groove.
I sometimes wish I could vote for Pedro, you know? It seems like the slate is not always great, but sometimes it is. You know, sometimes it really is. I know it's easy to be negative, but it's hard to be a politician. They endure a lot. I'll just tell you, even if you gave me the office for free, you know, I didn't have to earn it. I'm not sure that I'm interested, but the whole process of having to go out and knock on strangers' doors and talk to them and persuade them that they should vote for you. Oh, my God. And then the lies that are told about you, even, you know, I mean, if you're a bad one, it's bad enough. But if you're a good one, I mean, they all get lied about. They all get slandered online. It's ridiculous. Sadly or gloriously, that's all protected speech. First Amendment, political speech. 520 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David.
Good morning, gentlemen. A federal judge has tossed out criminal indictments of former FBI Director James Comey and New York Attorney General Letitia James. The New York Attorney General was indicted for alleged mortgage fraud. Comey was indicted for allegedly lying to Congress about the Trump-Russia investigation. Both claimed the appointment of Trump's former personal lawyer, Lindsey Halligan, as U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District was unlawful, and a judge agreed.
Yeah, this woman should not be in this job. You do not have the ability to create this situation. And also, she was appointed because the guy who held the job before refused to do the prosecutions. Like, I'm not going to engage in political retaliation for you. Well, you're out. We'll get somebody who will. I mean, this really ugly stuff. Not to mention, like, even if the attorney had not been a problem, you have issues in the Comey case to begin with. You have, like, the grand jury wasn't even read the final set of documents. It's crazy. Some of the, not just the thing itself, but some of the procedural and or evidential and problematic elements of this particular case. It's terrible. There's no part of this where you're like, oh, sure, you know, this is perfectly normal and routine. Go ahead, David.
Well, the discovery of previously unreleased documents about toxins at Ground Zero has some FDNY members up in arms. Firefighters, union officials, and others held a rally in Manhattan on Monday. They say they want answers following the revelation that first responders were exposed to toxins on 9/11 that the city knew about but never shared that information with the public. And reggae pioneer and actor Jimmy Cliff has died. His family announced on Monday that he passed away at the age of 81 after a seizure followed by pneumonia.
All right, David, thank you so much for the update. 437-1620 is my phone number if you want to weigh in on anything. So you remember a couple of months ago we were talking about, maybe it wasn't even quite that long, maybe a month, but we were talking about how, you know, the Florida Doge team had come to town and they had done their deep dive and they had looked at everything that the city of Pensacola was doing and found a bunch of things they were doing wrong. And what did I say at the time? I said, well, show me the report. Let's see the report, right? Because it's fine to go and, you know, out and do a press conference and then to make allegations, at least one of which was completely false. Like the Sanger Theater thing was completely false. If you look at the numbers, butchered the data. And so we asked the question, well, you know, okay, show us the rest of the report. Nobody's seen it. Like, we still haven't seen this report. So instead, now what you've got is that you've got people elsewhere in the state who are saying the same thing. People in these slandered counties are saying, you know, not only do you not have the report, but like this has all been a PR thing. That's all it's been. Seminole County Republican County Commissioner Lee Constantine tells Florida Phoenix, this whole thing is a made-for-television event. That's what I said at the time. It just looks like, I mean, this is all PR. And it's specifically made for television for the CFO's reelection. He said this during the Florida Association of Counties meeting, and that's going on right now. We got a lot of our – that's one of the reasons they weren't having – I guess it was actually last week. That's the reason that we weren't having meetings on Thursday last week. Instead, we're having them on Monday. He was served in both chambers of the legislature. Excuse me. This is a different one. This is – who's this guy? Last name is Geller. Broward County Democratic County Commissioner Steve Geller. Served in both chambers of legislature for 20 years. He criticized the calculations. Remember how they did this thing about how much money you raised here and how much money you raised there and how much you've gone up in between, and therefore that's an evidence of the waste, without actually showing that here's the particular places where they claim there was waste. They had alleged that Broward had engaged $189 million in wasteful spending. And he said, check the numbers. They're fictitious, made up, phony, completely false. So I'll be talking to the mayor, of course, tomorrow, as we do on a Wednesday, and I'll ask him if we've got that report yet, because they promised. Well, yeah, the report's coming. Yeah, the details, the evidence. what? Where's the Ennio Morricone when we need it? Like, there's been nothing since. They reached out to Blaise Ingolia's office, and that's the CFO. And their answer was, the CFO's message to these big government apologists is clear. Stop lying to the taxpayers and stop wasting money to the tune of tens of hundreds of millions of dollars each year. That's Sidney Booker, the communications director for Angolia. Senior exaggerator in chief. You can keep saying that, but what's your evidence? Because the evidence has not been given, and you can claim all you want in some, you know, press extravaganza dog and pony show, but, show me. That's what I want to know. Meanwhile, Don Gates, our state senator, doing some interesting things. One is he was talking about the problems in the voucher and or the public education funding system that they have identified, and he's bringing forward a bill that is going to address some of this stuff. It's SB 318. He said there are three key problems right now when it comes to voucher money.
Our bill will address three primary issues identified in the Auditor General's report. First, today, the state does not know where students are at key points in the school year. Last year, we told you the state could not find 23,000 students on any given day. Today, the number is 30,000 students that we can't find. Taxpayers are paying for, but we can't find where they are.
Like, students that are supposedly on the rolls for which money is being paid that we just don't know where they are. 30,000 students in the entire state of Florida. I mean, that's not nothing.
Second, today we cannot ensure that the money is following the student to the family's provider of choice, especially when students are moving back and forth between providers. The amount of money which we cannot account for as being in the right place at the right time.
Take a guess. What do you think? PJ, you want to take a guess how much money they're not able to track? Swing at it. Swing at it. Say any number. Any number greater than a million, less than a trillion.
35 million.
Exceeds $270 million on any given day. For example, $100 million, which should have been paid to public school districts last year, was improperly paid to the SFOs for scholarships.
It's only a quarter of $1 billion. What's that matter? I mean, really? We're going to care about $250 million in the education silo that nobody knows what's where it went to?
Third, the state is unable to accurately estimate or project family empowerment scholarships for budgetary planning purposes because the program is growing so rapidly. Today, nearly 20% of school-aged children in our state are educated in private schools or homeschooling arrangements at public expense. And because of the deadlines for school choice, decisions by families are not aligned with the current budgetary calendars.
Now, that last part is kind of interesting. What he's saying is that when you create the budget, that the date hallmarks by which you'd want to have students identified as going to public or private or homeschool, so you know where the money, if the money needs to be allocated or not, because if they're homeschooled, they don't get any money. Unless they go through the program that allows them to have some for things like, tutors and things like that, special programs. But generally speaking, you know, there's no money paid for them. If you know who's going to private school and if you know who's going to public school, well, you can make a budget. Well, the problem he's saying is that the dates for, we have budget dates are basically built around everybody does budget at the same time. But the school calendar is weird, right? The school calendar is offset from, you know, normal calendars. It's just a different kind of entity. And he's saying that we haven't made the deadlines for knowing where students are going to make any sense related to the budgetary timeline. And I can understand why that would be a problem. And so we can't make a budget. So we don't know how to make a budget. We really don't know where the kids are, and we don't know where the money went. So everything's fine. My God. I'm glad he's looking into it. 45 of 67 school districts have been consistently losing enrollment over the last 5 years. This bill would kind of ameliorate that decline with attention to, you know, very poor counties. I've said this many times. I'll say it again. If the school districts cannot compete against private, you know, entities or homeschool for the students, then they shouldn't be getting the money. And they shouldn't be raising your taxes at the same time. They should be shedding infrastructure. That's what they should be doing. Because the business has gotten smaller, and yet they're actually saying we're going to raise prices on the menu to anyway. Monthly payments to families and schools requiring verification, ID verification is a new part of this. And trying to give them a list of services they might be able to use outside of the normal tracks.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Travel headaches for people trying to reach their destination for Thanksgiving by air.
You just never know what's going to happen, to be honest. It's kind of like a waiting game to see what they say.
And that woman flying out of Dallas, one of the more than the predicted 6 million Americans who are flying, and keep your eye to the skies.
The risk of severe weather still in place across portions of the Gulf states getting up into Alabama. It's a 2 on a scale of 5. It's not our highest risk scale, but as we saw yesterday, that was also a 2 on a scale of 5. Did see that spin-up tornado.
Fox meteorologist Adam Klotz. Residents near Houston sifting through damage from a tornado Monday that damaged more than 100 homes.
I see it start spinning, and then I see the spiral coming down, and then stuff just starts flying past my head.
A man witnessed the twister. No serious injuries reported. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. It's 72 degrees right now. We've got partly cloudy skies this morning. A judge has set bond at $40,000 for former Escambia County deputy that's accused of hitting and killing two pedestrians in Perdido Key back in July. 58-year-old Greg Nesmith turned himself in on Sunday. He faces two counts of vehicular homicide. That crash happened in the early morning hours July 5th when Nesmith's unmarked patrol vehicle struck 20-year-olds Nicole Moore and Jackson Cunningham as they were in a crosswalk. An attorney for one of the victims claims that Nesmith was traveling 74 miles per hour in a 45 mile per hour zone. Nesmith's attorney says his view was blocked by an ambulance. The former deputy had worked for the sheriff's office for over 30 years. He's now not allowed to drive pending trial. His next court appearance is set for December 19th. Police in Milton have temporarily closed Lucille Johnson Park on Mary Street. This is after what they're calling an incident on Monday evening. FDLE was also at that scene. Now, officials have not confirmed any details, but several people did report hearing gunshots. Police say there's no active threat, but they are asking the public to avoid that area as they continue investigating. Now, Florida's Gulf Test Range could face new pressure from offshore drilling. Congressman Jimmy Patronis says the latest federal proposal would put Northwest Florida right in the middle of that fight. The Department of the Interior's updated leasing plan opens portions of the Eastern Gulf to new oil projects, including areas that are currently used for military and weapons testing.
This particular issue, there was a variation of this in public comment back this summer. We wrote a very clear-cut letter of why we felt like this was bad for Northwest Florida.
And Congressman Jimmy Patronis there, he says he and other local leaders are pushing back on that warning that it could be detrimental to national defense. Now, some homeowners might see a drop in their insurance rates. The Florida Office of Insurance Regulation announced yesterday that American Traditions Insurance Company is slashing rates by more than 7%. The state estimates that this could benefit about 37,000 Floridians. The FLOIR also says it shows that Florida's reforms are now working. for the benefit of homeowners in the state. A lawmaker from Miami-Dade County wants to lower the tax bill for seniors. State Representative Juan Porras filed a bill last month that would exempt senior citizens from local property taxes. That would still require seniors to pay the taxes that cover school funding. The bill was sent to the committee last week. It's 534 News Radio, 92.3. Again, right now, 72 degrees. We've got partly cloudy skies here this morning in Pensacola. Our next news is at 6 a.m. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Pittsburgh Post-Gazette journalists have returned to their North Shore newsroom after a lengthy bitter strike. On strike for more than 3 years, the guild members voted earlier this month to return to work. Amazon said it will invest as much as $50 billion on AI infrastructure to support U.S. government agencies. The project will add 1.3 gigawatts of capacity across new data centers, with Amazon expected to break ground in 2026. As part of the investment, agencies will have access to Amazon Web Services AI tools, Anthropic's cloud family of models, and NVIDIA chips, as well as Amazon's custom Trainium AI chips. OpenAI CEO Sam Altman said the artificial intelligence startup has finally finished its first prototypes for hardware devices. In May, OpenAI acquired former Apple design chief Joni Ive's startup called I/O for $6.4 billion. Ive said he expects OpenAI to reveal its hardware device in 2 years or less. Futures are slightly lower. On Monday, the Dow Industrials lost 19. That's Your Money Now.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 92% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs ranging from cosmetology and plumbing to nursing and aviation airframe mechanics. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for spring semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. Go here. Get there.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction tomorrow at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
ADX Communications isn't just a company name. It's a home to four great radio stations and the area's most robust digital platform. And we're proud of the successes our local business partners have had, trusting our years of marketing experience.
This is Megan over at the Boot Store on Pine Forest Road in Pensacola. We have advertised with Cat Country 98.7 over the past 10 years because we know radio works, and Cat Country reaches our target audience.
Hi, I'm Kenny Chartel at Affordable Automotive in Gulf Breeze. I enjoy working with the great team at this radio station. Dependable, professional, local, and result-driven. ADX Communications.
To have your business become part of our success story, no matter if it's Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, ESPN Pensacola 99.1, Pensacola's Playlist 94.5, or the area's most robust digital platform, call us today. 850-262-6000. That's 850-262-6000. And let ADX go to work for you.
Exciting news. The News Radio Pensacola app has just been updated with a fresh new look. Now it's easier than ever to stay connected with our community. Check the weather. Get instant access to local news stores.
The city appears to be ready to
engaging podcasts and various streaming options. All at your fingertips. Whether you're at home, on the go, or anywhere in between, our app keeps you informed and engaged. Download the updated News Radio Pensacola app today. From News Radio 92.3. Informative. Local. Dependable.
Good morning, 538 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Yesterday, we had a good chance to talk to our congressman from Northwest Florida District 1, Jimmy Petronas. Hey, Jimmy, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, y'all. How are y'all?
Oh, we're doing great. By the way, happy Thanksgiving in advance, in case I forget to say it at the end.
Okay. I'll save you though.
Oh. Fair enough. Are you do you cook? Who cooks in your family? You, your wife?
So it's funny. I asked Katie yesterday. I said, "Look, what do you want me to do regarding Thanksgiving? We're talking about going over to my brother's house, and we'll have all the family over there. But again, I think we talked about it the other day. I'm just wanting to know if I need to fry a bunch of turkeys or not.
But you don't know yet. You're still waiting to find out.
Still waiting.
Gotcha. All right. Well, you're the guy I should come to for advice.
Find out Wednesday.
I've never done the I've never done the fry. I just do it in a bag because you know it's easier and plus it doesn't cost me $100 worth of oil or $50 worth of oil or whatever it's going to be.
That's right.
We got so much stuff to get to with you. I wanted to start with this: the 492nd relocating to Monthan Air Force Base from Hurlburt. As I remember this story, it felt like at the time Biden administration payback for Trump and or conservatives and or Ron DeSantis and or COVID and or God knows what, all these different things. It felt political at the time. But have you guys been able to make any effort to make this not happen?
So that's it. I don't know if there has been a change in what the Air Force is going to do. I do know that back in August, there was a modification to the EIS, which changed what all would be moving. A wise friend told me, who's been in the service a very long time, says that there's never been a movement of a mission in the history of the military that wasn't political.
Okay.
And I'm going to, go down swing. A lot of the arguments that the Air Force has given for the move, some of which hold water, okay? But I just know the quality of life between Northwest Florida and out in the middle of nowhere near Tucson, Arizona. It's like comparing apples to oranges.
Go ahead.
I would like to try to give every chance I can to keep those missions here. And those families here, those 700 plus families here in Northwest Florida. But this is a decision that was essentially made in 2023 under a Biden administration. And on top of that, we don't even have Secretary of War Hegseth's force protection plan even out yet. So we don't even know what his vision is, if this complements his vision moving before 492.
Now, this particular operation, the 492nd Special Operations Wing, for people who may not know, and you please correct me if I'm wrong, because I was trying to get better information on this the other day, and I found it a little bit difficult. This is primarily the Draco, right? This is the U-28A, the crop duster that's been modified to operate for quite some time in with weapons, with surveillance. That's the particular platform that's moving. We're not talking about the gunships. We're not talking about the Ospreys. We're talking about that particular platform. And how many people are part of the 492nd? I couldn't get a good sense of that.
So it's primarily the crop duster. And I've told the secretary, look, I said, take the crop duster. That mission was never here in Northwest Florida, so we don't know any different, okay? But don't take headquarters. Don't take the Osprey. The Osprey is supposed to be going. The C-130s are supposed to be staying. That was the modification.
The HQ and the Osprey are both part of this. Are part of this package.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. All right.
So we're not done. We're trying. I don't know. I have talked to the secretary about it. They're aware. The good thing about it is we're going to give one more good try to allow, today's time, today's global environment that we're in, to see if it has an ability to change the direction of where the 492 goes.
Okay.
My concern is we've got a whole different world with what's going on in Venezuela
yeah.
and South and Central America now that we did not have in 2023.
And this is it seems to me, as a civilian, this seems like a perfect platform for that environment. And, you know, closer is better, right? Always closer is better. I wanted to ask you about the sudden, I mean, I know you hate to talk about this Epstein story, and so do I, but it was a massive, as a political story, regardless of what the underlying thing is and regardless of when the files come out or all that, the idea that something would be so incapable of being, like, promised by Trump, then unpromised, then not going to happen, then a couple of turncoats, you know, basically in the Republican Party, force of title shift of all but one voting to release it, including you, and then a voice vote in the Senate, and then the president signing up. Like, I've never seen anything like this before.
I think when in talking to Speaker Johnson about this, I know what gave Speaker Johnson a lot of concern with this. It was one, how the bill was written very poorly. There were a lot of elements of the bill that weren't thoughtful if you were going to do some type of a release of document action like this. So I know that was one thing, that because I think the speaker's biggest concern is the victims that potentially could be released that did not want to be released. And who those parties are, and are you going to re-traumatize those particular individuals all over again? You had some victims that were out there that were very outspoken, that wanted the documents released, and then you had those who we did not know that did not get that did not want it released. But I've been consistent since the first time. I don't know if we ever talked on the show earlier, but I talked about it. I did several television shows. I've said for months, release the files. I just want to get back to work because it was creating such paralysis in the ability for us to do anything in Washington, D.C. And I think that's probably where Trump ultimately had his head in this thing. You know, he didn't like it. He was frustrated. And look, the president likes to be part of whatever decision is taking place. I think this was something that you know, went back and forth because, again, Speaker Johnson is a persuasive person. He was concerned about people that did not want to be re-traumatized.
Which I think was why the one vote against it, right?
There's some graphic stuff in there, too.
Yeah, which is, I think, why the one vote against it was for that reason, was, you know, this has got no protections for the innocent victims, especially if they were minors at the time and all of that. This offshore drilling business has really got a lot of people very unhappy because, you know, we go to Alabama and we see all the rigs and it's horrible. We, of course, remember the, you know, Deepwater Horizon very vividly and the effect that it had in Northwest Florida. You do, too. And for the longest time, it seemed like we were in a golden, weird confluence because environmentalists didn't want offshore drilling in Florida and conservatives didn't want offshore drilling because of the Eglin test range. And now all of a sudden we're talking about new oil rigs out in the Gulf. I mean, this seems terrible.
I'm not happy. This particular issue, there was a variation of this in public comment back this summer. We wrote a very, you know, clear cut letter of why we felt like this was bad for Northwest Florida. Since then, where that particular proposal was out for public comment, the Department of Interior decided to release a new map last week that now takes up basically the whole entire heart of the Gulf, probably about maybe a third to 50% of the Gulf test range. And then so we get into this somewhat finger pointing, because there's a significant number of missions that take place underneath the water. But because, and I'm not sure if I'm breaking any laws. No, I keep on being told, there's all these missions taking place underneath the water. I've been told that over and over and over, but evidently nobody will come out and publicly say that they're taking place underneath the water, because you shouldn't be talking about whatever particular missions could be under research or top secret or under secret or confidential. So, I mean, so this is kind of like a little bit of a chicken. We don't want it to protect the test range, but we won't be public about it because we don't want to admit that something's taking place under the border. So this is we did meet with the Department of Interior last week. They are still moving forward, and we will have a hyperlink that I will get to you later where the public can go and contact. Okaloosa County already came out. The county commission wrote out a former county resolution advocating against it. I talked to Mike Kohler earlier this week. He's doing the same thing in Escambia County. So we do need advocacy to come and step up and let people know publicly through this public comment period to let them know your concerns.
Yeah, I mean, I get the desire to have more oil, of course, but like Trump and Hegseth, and I mean, this is a 100% no-brainer. Don't mess with the test range. That stuff is vital to our military development. So I just, and even the part like had never heard about the underwater stuff. That's news to me. So I, you know, but even just if it was over the air, same basic concern. So we'll see. I suppose, you know, the game's not exactly over just yet. I wanted to, since we're kind of in the military realm a little bit, I was really troubled. I mean, I did not love what the Democrats put out as far as, you know, disobeying illegal orders, but that's just true. I mean, the UCMJ, you know, you're not supposed to obey an illegal order. I wish they would have specified. I thought they were all cowards for not specifying which order to disobey, nor were they willing to specify what they would do to protect people. So that was a flaw in the video. But for Trump to call it seditious and treasonous and, you know, death penalty stuff, and I know he's, you know, he's hyperbole all the time. But
right.
That really bothered me too, because I thought, no, the commander in chief needs to understand that he can't give illegal orders. Like that should be a no brainer too.
Yeah. I think, and the White House has walked back the comments that the president has made regarding that. But I think, as the Democrats went out there and, decided to, spin things up, you know, of course, Trump sees it. And, I think the one thing that probably got Trump elected is the fact that he doesn't have a filter, and so sometimes that lack of a filter and the reality that he speaks his mind when his issue is approached or when he's questioned is what triggered those type of responses, and where sometimes they have to, you know, kind of it didn't really mean that way.
Somebody comes in and talks to him and says, "Sir." let's do this a little differently. You know, something that's come up here locally, I don't know if you've even heard about this, and if you have and you have comment, great. If you don't, that's fine. I want to press you. But Mike Kohler, and in a conversation about, public beaches and customary use and Perdido Key, has raised, which I know you're very familiar with where you live, but, you know, same over here. At least I assume so.
Sure.
Mike Kohler has raised the prospect of maybe asking the federal government to transfer Johnson Beach to Escambia County. That seems like, I mean, like a never will happen kind of thing. But have you heard about this? It would have to go through you guys, basically. You know, Congress would have to make this happen. But have you know anything about this, thought about this at all?
And so Mike has reached out to me. He says he's got a stack of things he wants to go over with me. I'm now that you're saying this, I'm certain this has got to be one of them. But what we've been focused on, at least more recently in our chats, have been, you know, dealing with the potential threat of offshore drilling. And he's been just really helpful because we'd like to get the county commission up to speed. But I have not had a visit with this specifically to them.
Okay. All right. I was just curious if you did, because it's, like I said, they've been talking about it a little bit, but I'm sure after you talk with them, we'll know a little bit more. Last thing, yeah. The House totally reams the Senate on this $500,000 phone call records thing, this giveaway to these senators. Is the Senate going to go ahead and undo that? Do you have any indication?
So, I mean, this was, I think it was the first bill that I've seen pass at the House unanimously.
Yeah.
Because you know, we felt like this was something that was wasn't agreed to, but then was put in a must-have bill. So I think what you'll now see is we will have a bill that we've sent over, and at some point we'll probably end up expecting something in return from the Senate as part of the negotiation, or the Senate will come back and be agreeable to this. It caught everybody surprise. And like I said, even the speaker was adamant that we step up and send a message via legislation back to the Senate with unanimous support of every Democrat, Republican.
Yeah, and like you say, I think this first bill we've seen that's been unanimous across the aisle, that's, you know, it's a very, very clear
right.
statement. Well, Jimmy Petronis, as always, thank you so much for the time. He's our congressman from Northwest Florida District 1. Have a great Thanksgiving. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, I'm just going to plug JimmyHelpsYou.com is a new, easy-to-remember website that will take you straight to us. I've been telling a lot of folks, there's a lot of things that we can do, but you've got to sometimes reach out to us for us to be able to help you. So just check out JimmyHelpsYou.com and just reach out and let us help your constituent issues.
Very good. Thanksgiving. Yeah, and it forwards right to your patronus.house.gov at the moment. I don't know if you have other stuff that you're going to build onto that portal, but it's a very easy way to find Jimmy Petronis. JimmyHelpsYou.com. Jimmy, again, thank you for the time. We'll talk to you next week.
See you. Thank you.
Absolutely. 5:54 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Journey through a classic story of small wonders and big dreams.
Not a second can we spare, cause it all comes down to Christmas.
As one of America's favorite Yuletide movies comes to life. Ralphie, his family, and best pals. Live on stage. We triple dog dare you to miss the smash hit A Christmas Story, the musical.
Coming to the Sanger Theater in Pensacola December 2nd and 3rd. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
Okay, let's talk about renovation and how it's not like your ordinary happy ending home makeover show. Example, they're the guys who prey on homeowners and never show up to do the work. So that's why the state of Florida licenses contractors. You can check if your contractor is licensed at the Florida Department of Business and Professional Regulation website at myfloridalicense.com.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Business and Professional Regulation, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
That was some of the best flying I've seen yet. Right up to the part where you got killed. You never, never leave your wingman.
Good morning, 5:56 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Warmer today, so it's already 70s out. It's not going to get a lot warmer. We're looking at some storms later on today. Keep an eye on that. They're not supposed to be terrible, but you never know. It's kind of weird. When they tell me it's going to be bad, I always assume they're, you know, chicken-littling me. And when they tell me, don't worry, well, I just always remember in 2016 we had a Zone 2 and got a tornado, and then a month later we got a Zone 2 and got a tornado, and I'm like, we just don't know. We just don't know an awful lot of the time. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Attorney General Pam Bondi says she will be appealing after a judge tossed the criminal indictments against New York Attorney General Letitia James and former FBI Director James Comey. Both claimed the appointment of Lindsey Halligan as U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District was unlawful. Army Secretary Dan Driscoll meets with Russian officials today in Abu Dhabi to discuss an end to the war with Ukraine. That meeting will focus on the framework of a peace plan negotiated over the weekend between the U.S. and Ukrainians. The U.S.-led plan has been changed after Ukrainians objected to parts that called for it to cede territory to Russia. And today's the big day for a pair of turkeys in Washington. The turkeys are being pardoned by President Donald Trump.
Whoa, 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 whoa. You don't know that yet. Well, you don't know it till it happens.
I guess that's true.
And isn't the game always, does he pardon both of them or does he pardon just the one? But then we pardon them both in reality. You know, I can't remember how this goes every year.
I think they both get pardoned,
okay,
don't they?
All right. So we just, why then two? Why not 50?
Well, now we can't do that. We've got Thanksgiving coming up.
Yeah, we've got family members to feed.
We got to eat. That's right.
All right. Do you have names for the gobblers this year?
I do have names. They are Gobble and Waddle. Not the most unique names this year.
No. But
they could have done better on
that. Then again, you know, I always wonder, I mean,
legit, I also know where the turkeys are staying, if you'd like
on,
that information.
Go on. In the East Room? In the East Wing?
The turkeys are in the Lincoln bedroom. No, they are in the Willard Hotel in Washington, D.C. Nice accommodations for a turkey.
They keep the turkeys in a hotel?
Apparently so.
Oh, what's the world coming to?
This is what happens when you get rid of Doge.
Doge went away very quietly. Ended yesterday, right? Was the last official.
They say we're
still following Doge principles inside each department, which sort of begs the question of, well, if you could do that in the beginning, then why'd you need to create a separate department? And did it really do anything? I don't know. Florida Doge has been an embarrassment so far. Federal Doge, I mean, the head left. The entity got disbanded. If it were working, we'd keep doing it, yeah? Just a thought. Maybe I'm too pessimistic. It happens. We'll see in just a bit.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
Americans are on the move. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News, and while most of the almost 82 million of us traveling somewhere for Thanksgiving will drive, paying the exact same price for gas as last year, today's the peak air travel day.
The Transportation Department expecting we're going to see record travel at the nation's airports. More than 52,000 flights scheduled today alone. The airlines have increased their capacity. They've added 45,000 more seats daily than last year. That's according to Airlines for America.
Fox Business Network Cheryl Cassone. The government shutdown issues are in the rearview mirror, but Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy still advises us.
Stay in touch with your airline or update your apps so you know if your flight has been delayed or moved at all.
So far, there are about 500 delays this morning across the country, only about 31 flights canceled. She's grateful. That's New York Attorney General Letitia James's reaction to the mortgage fraud case against her being dismissed by a federal judge who also threw out the case against former FBI Director James Comey, who posted on social media.
The President of the United States cannot use the Department of Justice to target his political enemies.
Prosecutors charged Comey with lying to Congress back in 2020. Comey pled not guilty, and his legal team has been filing multiple motions trying to get the case thrown out, including claims the prosecutor who brought the charges should never have had the job to begin with. Judge Cameron McGowan Curry, a Clinton appointee, agreed and dismissed the case, Curry ruling Halligan was not properly appointed to the job as the U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of Virginia.
That's Fox's Mark Meredith. There is the threat of more severe weather in parts of the South this morning, from Louisiana to Mississippi, the morning after a tornado hit the Houston, Texas area.
I see it start spinning, and then I see the spiral coming down, and then stuff just starts flying past my head. A garbage bin flew past me.
And we're about 100 homes damaged, no injuries reported. America's listening to Fox News.
Oh, how's that flu, babe? Did you take DayQuil Intense Flu yet?
Nah, I got this. Ugh, okay, I don't got this.
You stay on the couch, and I'll grab the DayQuil.
Undo your flu symptoms with DayQuil Intense Flu. DayQuil Intense Flu provides powerful relief of your flu symptoms.
I'm ready for that to-do list.
Wow, you do got this.
DayQuil Intense Flu. The daytime coughing, aching, fever, under your flu, medicine. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
An official message from Medicare.
Medicare plans change from 1 year to the next. And this year, it's important for you to review your current coverage and compare all your options during Medicare open enrollment. Compare health plans, drug coverage, and costs. See if you can save some money, and don't forget to make sure your drugs are covered. Open enrollment ends December 7th. Visit Medicare.gov or call 1-800-MEDICARE.
Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Israel may get back another dead hostage today. Hamas says it'll hand over another set of remains as Israel keeps waiting for the final three dead hostages out of the 28 that were set to be turned over as part of that ceasefire that put an end to the war in Gaza. Now, there is also a continuation of the war in Ukraine. A Russian missile and drone barrage killed at least seven people, while a Ukrainian counterattack across the border inside Russia killed three. And there's also been fighting in another area. Afghanistan says nine children among the 10 dead in airstrikes launched by Pakistan.
The Taliban government in Afghanistan is accusing Pakistan of attacking three eastern provinces overnight. Tensions are high between the two countries. Pakistan believes Afghanistan is supporting militants who they say have carried out a series of attacks in recent months. The Pakistani Taliban is separate from but allied to the Afghan rulers. Cross-border clashes have also taken place, and the Afghan government claims a Pakistani drone struck their capital, Kabul. No comment from Pakistan's government or military on these latest claims. Jonathan Savage, Fox News.
On Wall Street, stock futures down modestly the day after a big surge in the market. On Monday Night Football, San Francisco topped Carolina.
49ers beat the Panthers 20-9, with running back Christian McCaffrey finding the end zone against his former team in the third quarter.
Play number 13 on his drive, tossed to McCaffrey, gets blocking, and a touchdown.
That was courtesy of ESPN as McCaffrey finished the game with 142 yards from scrimmage. San Francisco quarterback Brock Purdy threw three first-half interceptions, but the Niners improved to 8-4, while the Panthers dropped to 6-6.
That's Fox's Joe Morgan. In the NBA, the Detroit Pistons won again, extending their win streak to 13, beating Indiana 122-117. The 13 wins in a row ties a Pistons franchise record. I'm Dave Anthony, and this is Fox News.
Good morning, 6:05 at News Radio 92.3. It is 71 degrees right now. Clear skies. It's a beautiful morning. Starting out, let's get a check on our traffic on the fives with PJ.
Traffic is brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Executive Landscaping has joined Russell Landscape Group, combining trusted local service with regional strength to deliver exceptional landscape construction and maintenance. 770-446-3552. There is a vehicle crash, County Road 297A at Heaton Road in Cantonment. They're saying the roadway is open. Also, a vehicle crash with injuries, I-10 westbound, right at mile marker 36 in Milton. They're saying the roadway is clear. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, PJ. The Florida Department of Law Enforcement providing some details on those recent arrests across Northwest Florida. The agency says they arrested 15 people after a major drug trafficking operation in Pensacola last week. It was called Operation Nottingham. They say it targeted what authorities are calling a drug trafficking organization, moving fentanyl and other drugs here throughout our area. Agents say they seized 14 pounds of fentanyl, along with methamphetamine, cocaine, and marijuana. They also recovered 30 firearms and over $60,000 in cash. The operation involved multiple search warrants last Wednesday.